thank goodness we didn't have a snowstorm to have to battle or anything like that. I'm really glad to see you here. For those that were here last week, we began a series, a theme, essentially, you know, talking about the fact that we belong. And if you weren't here last week, I do encourage you to, go online and you can download the podcast from our website, or I believe there might be some CDs out there. As part of what we're doing, we interviewed Jody Brunuto, who opened up her heart and basically shared her spiritual journey of learning and becoming a belonger, in a sense. And, it was a tough story. It was a lot of difficult things that she shared in what had happened in her early days. And as I was thinking about it, a lot of it I could not relate to. And so I asked the Lord about it. I said, well, you know, who can and who can't? He said, son, it doesn't matter. And he showed me this. For some of us, we could relate by what she was sharing. And we could say, well, if God can help her, he can help me. And then for some of us that didn't have some of those horrendous things happen, we could still look at what she said and say, my God, if God can help her, he can definitely help my little problem. You see what I'm saying? So regardless of kind of where you're at on the gamut of life, her story is inspiring. And so I do encourage you, if you weren't here last week, to just download it for free and you can have a listen to it. It was inspiring to me, and I got to hear it like about four times because I spoke to her during the week, and then she did it at both services, and it every time it was just a little bit different in just adding different nuances of what Jesus was showing her to show us. So I can't encourage you enough to have a listen. But it began the theme that we belong, that each one of us are to be a part of the body of Christ. So I want to draw you to Scripture right now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. You know, let's stop there for a minute. Here it's making it clear that we're all part of the body, but we're all part of one Spirit. And this is very, very important. In fact, if you go on, it says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not the body, so it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And so as you look at this scripture, it begins talking about that we're part of one body. We've been put together, and we're all different parts. And so you get the idea that they're almost talking like as a human body. The Apostle Paul's using the example of ears and eyes and arms and all those different things and how each one of us play a role in that. And for many of us, that's difficult because, you know, maybe we're called to be an ear and we want to be a mouth, or we're called to be an arm and we're like the little teeny toe on our foot, if you know what I'm saying. But each part plays a purpose in the Lord. And so where the frustration is sometimes is that we see other people's part in the body and we want to do it. You know, for example, we have wonderful worship this morning. And I can't tell you, over the years, I hear someone, you know, playing a guitar or singing or playing, and I'm like, I wish I could do that. How many people have done that? You know, it's like, man, that's not fair. You know, why can't I do that? Well, there's some real reasons why I can't do it. We won't get into that right now. But the point is that's not my gift. That's not my part in the body. That's someone else's part. Now, having said that, I think that there can be jealousy in a sense that can be healthy. There's two kinds of jealousy, one that's unhealthy and one that's healthy. The unhealthy one is that you're looking at what everybody else is doing and saying, I wish I could do that. And you spend all your time worried about that and you neglect the gift that God has given you. And then there's the healthy kind of jealousy where you see someone flowing and doing what they're called to do and you see the anointing of God on them. You see them empowered to do what they're called to do and to say, man, that's what I want to do. I want to find my place in the body, and I want to function in it so I can be anointed like that person. You hear what I'm saying? So there's two kinds of ways you can take it. So let's have a healthy jealousy for one another. In other words, to say, Lord, I thank you for that, but if they can do that, what have you called me to do? Because the Bible says that each one of us have been given gifts. And in fact, I love it. It doesn't say gift. It says gifts. So that means we are gifted individuals, but we each have a part in the body. So here's the thing. Some of us are ears, and some of us are mouths, and some of us are arms and legs. And in fact, elsewhere in Scripture, he talks about some of the hidden parts of us that you don't want to kind of put out on display. But they're important. That every part, there's no extra parts in the body. You even find out, you know, the appendix has a reason. You know, the spleen. Every part of the human body has a purpose in it. And it's the same for you and I. Each one of us have a purpose in the body of Christ. And we're called to function in it. Amen? But it can be difficult. And here's why. You see, let me just show you here. You see this display on the back here? First of all, let's put our hands together and thank Lorraine Swack. She's the one that painted this thing, all right? Now, it's 50 feet long and 10 feet high. It didn't take her 5 minutes. You get what I'm saying? You know, we had to put it up, and we had an overhead projector, and she marked it all out. Then we had to take it down, and she painted it. We put it all back up. And so for our theme, the idea is it's puzzle pieces, and you begin to see, hopefully that's not an aha moment for you. hopefully you already knew that's kind of what it was there. And you can see there's certain pieces that are still missing. And the idea is that we're all to be a part, but we have to see where we fit in. Now, you can see that as you look at all this, it's pretty organized. You know, you can see each piece, and it looks like they all fit nice and tight in place, and it's all there. But here's the reality of it. That's not how it is in real life, is it? Let me take this piece. You wondered if that piece was different, didn't you? Some of you did. Some of you are like, whoa, I didn't see that. Well, so here's this piece. Now, it took the guys a while to draw this piece to make it fit in there. We had to put it up there and with paper first and trace it all out and then cut it as it is to fit it back in. Now, when we come to Jesus, when we come to faith in Jesus, wouldn't it be awesome if you and I could just, like, we take our piece, our lives, and plunk, we just fit in? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, here's the reality of it. Don't work that way. In fact, when we come to Christ, we got some pieces that are missing. There's bits and pieces of us that we don't fit quite right, do we? We come broken. We come bruised. Ugh, we come damaged. And so here we are. We just come all like in pieces. And yet, here's the thing. The Lord receives us. In other words, though we come all broken and bruised and ripped up in a sense, damaged by the world, when we come to faith in Jesus, he accepts us just the way we are. This is really, really important because he loves us. Now, he loves us so much he doesn't leave us a mess on the floor. He begins to help us get glued back together in a sense, help us to become all that he's called us to do so that we can fit in. But there's a process involved, isn't there? It's not automatic. And so when we come to the Lord, there's a part of us at times we don't feel like we belong. We don't fit. We don't fit. You know, the piece that's missing, and we try to fit in there, and there's still blanks. There's still parts of us that's not quite right. And so as I began to pray about this, about belonging, the Lord showed me this, and he showed me two parts of it. He showed me the our part, you know, as that individual coming to him, but there's also the church's part in it as well. It's two-sided. And so the Lord began to talk to me about my life and remind me of my experiences in growing up to show me how I had trouble fitting in. And so before I came to the Lord, which is about 19 years old, I still went to church every Sunday. My parents took me to church. It was like, you know, I know nowadays parents ask their kids, hey, would you like to go to church? Well, that was not an option in my life. If I wanted to eat, wanted to have a roof over my head, you get what I mean? You went to church. That's just the way it was. And so when I went to church, here's what I had in my closet. I had my Sunday clothes in there. And you know what there was in there? Suit, 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 suit. You get what I'm saying? You know, and some ties. In other words, when I went to church, you know, even from being just a little tyke, you know, 3-4 years old, I had a suit on. That's what I went to church with. And so the first 19 years of my life, that was my church experience. And then I accepted the Lord. Guess what I went to church in? Suit, because that was my experience in God. And so I didn't have any problem with it. Everyone else that went to church was like that as well. And then as time went on, I moved down from Canada down to reach out here. And back in the early 90s, guess what all the leaders wore? Suits. So I fit right in, right? So I'm there, you know, and because that was the sense of the time, you that's just what you did. And so I'm there, you know, and so in a sense, externally, I fit right in. Externally. And so life goes on, and I'm here for a few years. And one Sunday morning, I open my closet, one early morning, see my suit. So I go to put it on, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And it was one hot summer day. You know what the Holy Spirit told me? Wear shorts to church. I rebuked it. I said, that's Satan. There is no way that God would want me to wear shorts. There is no way. And so I told my wife, I said, you know, I believe God wants me to wear shorts to church. She says, you're crazy. Because she was the one, in her upbringing, dress. In other words, your Sunday best, that's what you do. That's your part. That's how you look. That's what you do. And she even distanced herself. She said, look, don't you tell anybody I agreed. So anyway, I remember I found these shorts and I put them on, you know, and I don't wear shorts much anyway, so I have like these really white legs. I'm scary looking in shorts, all right? This is the reality of it. And so I put these shorts on, and I think I still probably wore a dress shirt. I don't think I wore a t-shirt. I just couldn't cross that line, all right? But I didn't wear a tie. And so I remember, and I sat in the front row, so my little white knees and little legs are there, and no one said anything, but everybody was watching. They're like, whoa, that's different, you know. And I'm kind of embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting there like, gosh, you know, I thought maybe I'd made a mistake. So I'm sitting there, you know, I make it through service, and I go home, and I'm still not comfortable. And I said, Lord, what was that all about? And he began to show me and reveal to my heart that God is more concerned about the innards of my heart than the externals. And in fact, in Psalms 24, this isn't in you know, they're not going to put it up because, you know, it's just not in my notes. But in Psalms 24, it says this, who may ascend the hill of the Lord and who may enter his holy place? Only those that have clean hands and a pure heart. It doesn't say you have to have a suit on or a dress or look a certain way to be able to enter into the presence of God. But what God is looking for is a pure heart. And so it's not whether you wear a suit or don't wear a suit. That's not what I'm talking about. Because that's not what God really cares about. What he cares about is you. And so as I began to pray about what we were going to talk about today, that really is the theme in what I want to share with you, in that what's our heart when a person comes into this body? How do we receive them? Do we receive them superficially? Or do we look at the heart? See, as I look around, we've got all kinds of diversity here, all different colors, all different nationalities. I think we as a church have done very, very well in that, that we're accepting of everybody from every kind of culture going. And I think that's wonderful. But I'm asking about something far deeper than that. I'm asking about when somebody comes in and they look totally different. You know what I'm saying? They act different than you do. They say things that you wouldn't say. How do you react to that down in your heart? You might not say anything, but how do you react? Do you react with criticalness, with judgment, with condemnation? In other words, on the inside of you, or are you open-armed to accept them for just who they are? Because that's the heart of Jesus. As I look, as he walked on the earth, he talked to everybody. He talked to everybody. He talked to religious folk. He talked to the prostitutes. He talked to the tax collectors. He talked to ordinary folk. And nowhere at any time did he judge any of them. Not once. But he just talked to them, and he imparted the kingdom to them. He talked to them what was the most important thing. What was the most important thing? That they could belong to the kingdom, that they could fit in. But I wonder whether at times we hinder new ones coming in because we want to fit them into this certain mold so they fit. Here's the reality of it. You and I didn't fit when we first came in, but we forget. We forget. We kind of get into this pattern of living and say, well, this is the way it is. And we forget that we were once broken and bruised and had pieces missing in our life, and it took time to bring us all together. In fact, if you look at the front of your bulletin, and someone pointed out, this is pretty cool, actually. If you have a look at the front, it says, you know, it's from Romans, similar to the scripture I read. It says this, for just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Well, it's interesting. I was just showing this between services. We have the same scripture on display out in the foyer. And here's how it reads. For just as each one of us has one body with many members. Actually, the many got misspelled to many. You know, there's some meanies in the body of Christ. Maybe that was God that caused us to make that mistake, all right? So I'm gonna benefit that to the Lord, all right? So it says meanies. So there are meanies in the body of Christ. There literally are. And the thing is, are we going to tolerate that, or are we going to come to a place of accepting people for who they are and loving them through the process of learning to fit, first of all, into the body of Christ, and then later having that sense of belonging here. Let me share a story. And again, I just want you to know, I'm going to preempt this with what I'm going to say. And this is that when people share things with me, I want you to know that I just don't go and talk about it to other people, all right? So the story I'm going to tell you is from a man by the name of John Mills. Some of you know John. And so I asked him permission. I said, hey, can I share this story? He says, absolutely. My heart's open. If one person is touched, I'm blessed by it. So I just want you to know that. So John, I ran into him at one of the men's meetings just last a couple weeks ago. And so we reconnected, and the Lord was just speaking to me, and I talked to him for a little bit. And then I gave him a call during the week. And this is the story he told me, because I wanted to get the details straight. In August 2016, for the first time, he came through these doors and sat down here. This wasn't the first church that he came to. He'd been to a number of churches in the area, and he just didn't feel comfortable. He came through these doors and sat down. He said, the first thing that I felt was the peace of Jesus in my heart. I felt that God was doing something here. He didn't know what, because you have to understand that when John came, he was pretty broken. He was just like this piece of puzzle here on the ground. He had accepted the Lord when he was in his younger days, when he was a teenager. And then basically for 25 plus years, he walked away from Jesus. He got married, had a family, life carried on, but God was on the back burner. And so when he came through the doors and sat here for the first time, his children had been alienated from him. His wife had left him. He was on his own. In fact, he worked here in Poughkeepsie, so he's living in a little apartment on this side of the river. His wife was living in their house over Newburgh direction, and so they were separated. And so he came in angry at God, angry at himself, frustrated with life. And yet in the midst of all of that, he had a sense of Jesus when he came in the door. And so here he sits, you know, and a couple weeks go by, time goes by, and there were different altar calls. And what happened over time is some of the guys gathered around him and would spend time praying with him. And he'd talk about what was going on, you know, the frustration with his wife and all the just bad stuff that was happening. And he said this, he said, Carl, the thing that kept me coming back was they didn't tell me what to do. They just loved me for who I was. And he said, I kept coming back because I felt that I fit in to Jesus. And so time goes on, and so another 6-8 months goes on, and he's still asking for prayer with all the guys, you know, fix my wife, fix my marriage, fix this and that. And he came to a point in his walk of realizing that to belong doesn't mean everything external has to be fixed. In fact, as time went on, he realized that he had to fix himself, that he couldn't fix his wife, he couldn't fix the circumstances, that he needed to let God begin to work on him. And then began for essentially the next another 6-7 months where God began to do these amazing miracles on the inside of him, where his view of life changed. Why? Because he had a sense that he belonged to this body. So here's the cool part. His wife, whom he'd been kind of estranged from, he still talked to her on the phone from time to time. She noticed that something was happening in his life, that he had changed. And you know what she wanted to do? She wanted to find out what group had touched this guy's life. So she shows up in church. And you know what happens to her? She gets born again. She accepts Jesus. Now, I wish I could tell you at that moment, they kissy-kissed and life went on. Didn't happen quite like that, all right? There's still issues going on. But all of a sudden, communication began to happen. And Marie, which is his wife's name, decides, man, this is so good, I'm going to share it. Has her mother come to church? And she's a Canadian, eh? Just so you know, I'm a Canadian, so yeah, had to get that in there, right? So she comes, and she gets born again, too, and they get baptized here in this church. And so then what happens is time goes on, and I'm going to move along pretty quickly here, but here's the reality of it. They're together again. They're together again. Their marriage is better than it's ever been. Because what happened is both of them sought the Lord to fit into Jesus first. And then what happened is their marriage could then fit properly back together again. Because Jesus wasn't at the forefront of their lives. And so you might say, okay, what about now? Well, John doesn't go here to church any longer. You might say, oh, man. No, it's all good. See, you need to understand, when God talks about his kingdom and fitting and belonging, it's not just about reach out church. It's about the universal kingdom. It's bigger than us. It's the church of Jesus Christ, his entire church. And so because he's back with his wife, here he is out near Newburgh. That means it's almost a two-hour drive to come to church. And so he came to me in tears. This is about 6 or 8 months ago. He says, "Pastor Carl, this is my church. This is my home. This is where God has touched me. But I believe that to belong to a local body, I need to be closer so I can come and go to weekly meetings and different things that are going on." And you know what I said? Well, I wanted to say no, but I didn't because I love him so much. But here's what I said. I said, "You're absolutely right. Local church to local people. That's really how it should be." And so we prayed with him, sent him out, and he found a church just a mile up the road from where he lives so he can be able to be part of what's going on there. You see, the thing is, he had to learn to belong to God first and then belong to a local body, and then God helped him fit in to where he's supposed to be in what church he's going to. You hear what I'm saying? And that's how belonging works. It's not to make you and I exactly the same as one another, you know, these cookie-cutter kind of Christians. That's not the way it should be. And I relate to you the story of you know, my clothing and that in coming here even. And here's another part. When my experience in church was singing hymns. How many people came from a background like that? Anybody? Oh, thank God, I'm not the only one, all right? So here is my worship experience. They would say the call to worship. That was, you know, what they would do. And they'd have this one song they would sing always, which was all right. But my worship was this. You get what I'm saying? I'm holding the book. Holding the hymn, turn to hymn number 567. All rise, and we're only going to sing, and they didn't say all this, but here's what they said. We're only going to sing 3 of the 8 verses because it's too darn long. And so we would skip over verses. I mean, people know what I'm talking about. Hey, you're all laughing because you know, all right? And you go through it, and once in a while I'd be like, well, what do these other verses say? I'm like, they're pretty cool too. How come we don't sing those? But oh no, you couldn't take too long, you know? And then you sit down, and then a little while later, okay, it's time to worship again. Okay, you sing a song, and you sit. And that was my worship experience. So you have to understand that coming into a church like this, man, it's a little bit weird, all right? So first of all, I got no book to hold anymore because, you know, stuff's up on the screen. That's a little weird. So, okay, what do I do with my hands? Okay, put them behind my back. Put them in. And then you see some people, you know, some people are raising their hands and other people are kind of moving around. And you're like, whoa, that's kind of weird. That's not my experience. You see, when you haven't experienced it, everything's weird. You hear what I'm saying? It's not normal to you, so it will seem odd to you. But here's the thing. The Word of God talks about entering his gates with praise, his courts with thanksgiving. It talks about raising hands in adoration to him. And so what happened over time, and again, time, as people were worshiping and I'd sense the presence of God, all of a sudden I'd notice that, you know, I got one hand up. You know what I'm saying? But there's a part of me saying, what are you doing? You're crazy. Put your hand down. What are you doing? You know, and then you put it back up. So there was this war going on inside of me of, you know, my old self and my new self. And so it takes time. And so you'll notice that I never tell everyone, okay, everybody put your hands up. What is that? Well, it has to come from the inside of you. It's either God or it isn't. But here's the thing. I want you to realize you're free to do that. And that's what I experienced when I came here, the freedom to do what I felt to do. So over time now, it's nothing for me to raise my hands in worship. I do it. In fact, you can watch me up here if you want to watch me. If you want to see a back of a bald head and see hands going up and down, that's fine. You can watch that. But the point is, sometimes I raise my hands, sometimes I don't. I just do what I feel God wants me to do. And that's what you need to have that freedom to do as well. But it takes time for that to happen. But here's what can happen. For some of us, at times, we want everybody to enter in. So sometimes we kind of try to force it. We're like, okay, everyone do this and everyone do that. Listen, that's not my heart for here. My heart is for you to experience Jesus. And in experiencing Jesus, the freedom will come from the inside out. You hear what I'm saying? You know, again, it's not whether you wear a suit or put your hands up or put your hands down that makes you more religious or more righteous in God's sight or not. It's about a clean hand and clean heart. That's where it's at. Amen? So the reality of it is we don't come fitting in. And for some of us, we will never fit in exactly the way the people around us think we should fit in. Guess what? That's on them, not on you. And I want you to realize that's my heart when I talk to different ones here and they say some stuff. Listen, I've heard some stuff over the years, all right? Over 30 years, you hear some stuff. And there are times where my eyebrow does go up a little bit. I'm like, whoa. Other times now, I'm a straight-faced guy usually. Sometimes I go, whoa, that's quite a story you've got there. You know, sometimes I will say that. But here's the reality of it. At that point, that was your experience with Jesus. And I'm okay with that. Because you know why? He's okay with that. And that's the way it needs to be, our walk here. So how do we treat people when they come in? When they look a little different, act a little different, say different things? Are we quick to correct them? Are we quick to say, oh no, we don't do that here, or you can't do that? I hope we're not, because I never saw Jesus do that once. In fact, let's look at God's Word just for a minute here. If you look back at Isaiah 56, so Old Testament, this is under the law. Now, the law, man, it was tough. You know what I'm saying? And yet, here's God speaking in Isaiah 56. I'm going to read from the Message Bible, Isaiah 56, beginning at verse 3. And here, and it's God speaking. He says this, "Guard my common good. Do what's right and do it in the right way. For salvation is just around the corner. My setting things right is about to go into action. How blessed are you who enter into these things, you men and women who embrace them, who keep the Sabbath and don't defile it, who watch your step and don't do anything evil." Now, here's where it gets good. Look at this. "Make sure no outsider who now follows God ever has occasion to say, 'God put me in second class. I don't really belong.' And make sure no physically mutilated person is ever made to think, 'I'm damaged goods. I don't really belong.' For God says to the mutilated who keep my Sabbaths and choose what delights me and keep a firm grip on my covenant, I'll provide them an honored place in my family and within my city even more honored than that of sons and daughters. I'll confer permanent honors on them that they will never be revoked. And as for the outsiders who now follow me, working for me, loving my name and wanting to be my servants, all who keep Sabbath and don't defile it, holding fast to my covenant, I'll bring them to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. They'll be welcome to worship the same as the insiders, to bring burnt offerings and sacrifices to my altar. Oh yes, my house of worship will be known as a house of prayer for all people. The decree of the Master God himself, who gathers in the exiles of Israel, I will gather others also and gather them in with those already gathered." So here's the heart of God, even under the old covenant, saying, look, even for non-Jewish people, if anyone comes, you are to accept them. If anyone comes seeking my face, don't treat them as second-class citizens. And that's how it needs to be within the body of Christ. We believe first. We believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there needs to be a place where we belong. For example, here we are called to be a part of a body. Now, I got an ear. Now, what if I chop this ear off and put it here on this counter here? Could that ear still hear? No. Well, what about my arm? If I chop my arm off and I put it down there, could it still function and lift and carry things? No, it can't, because the body has to function connected to the rest of the body. And that's what God has called you and I to do. If you read through the entire book of Acts and you see different people sent out to do ministry, where were they sent out from? From the church. Always from the church. That's how it functioned. In other words, out of the body comes ministry. And so there's no such thing as lone rangers in Jesus. All of us have to belong. And out of that belonging, here's another B word, we can become. So we believe first. We then belong to a body. We belong to the body of Christ, first of all. We belong to a local body. And then out of that, we become all that God has called us to be. Isn't that an amazing thing? Take a minute and have a look at this video. I just want to show you something. I'm not even going to tell you what it's about until after you see it. Go ahead and run that video.
Wow, this edition of the Concours de Castells has just started, and we're about to see the first monster of the day, a 3 of 10 with a triple bass.
And it's going to come from Castellers de Vilafranca. Please pay attention to the silence and right now. 15,000 people here in Tarraco Arena Plaza are paying to this tower, to this monster, as just Albert said. This is a 3 of 10 triple bass. It would be the first time to see it completed in Concours de Castells, because until 2 years ago, seeing this tower completed was really rare. Although the last year and this year, it's become, a couple of teams have been able to get a very good command on this 3 of 10, 7th level already in place, and seems good.
And you have to pay attention to the work of combination with this triple bass, the first bass, the second bass, and the auxiliary bass. That is the key for supporting that tower.
And the pair has already reached its position, and it looks like they're going to succeed, although we still have kind of 20 seconds left. But there's the bending tile. We're just one level away from success.
That is the most important moment.
There it goes, the Anchaneta, the crowner. One step, two steps, and here we go, the first
chief.
10-level tower. And if they don't get nervous, they are very, very likely to succeed completing it.
It looks quiet. It looks quiet. They just have to work hard now. And they are about to achieve it.
Yeah, because the pair is already out of their position. And the tower seems very, very safe. Let's say it again. For the first time, a 10-level tower is going to be completed in the Tarragona Concours de Castells. This is a historic moment, the first of many that we're going to live for sure today. But as you can see, Villafranca supporters are now going crazy because this is a great, very great start.
And now you will see the happiness that awakes to them. Look, look.
Of course, now it's great to see how they dismantle this spectacular triple base.
There are hundreds of people.
More than 30 people on the third base. Around 80-90 people on the second base. And
everybody else.
And countless people on the bottom base. And of course, this is a moment of joy. All the pressure now goes to Colla Vella, Chiquets de Valls, the outsiders.
So you want to take the volume down? Thank you. So as you look at this, I don't know whether you noticed this, but this is made of people, all right? And around Spain, they've been doing this for hundreds of years. It's a competition they have to build human towers. Obviously, the tallest one wins. Now, I could have shown you awesome videos of people tumbling down because, you know, someone, you know, got weak and little kids tumbling and all kinds of things happening, ambulances coming and all this, but I wanted to show you a successful one. Now, I don't know whether you caught what the guy was saying. First of all, this was over 10 people high. This thing was like 40, 50 feet high. It's amazing when you look at the height of it. And the thing is, at the third level, there were 30 people. At the second level, pictures, 90 people. And those 90 people are standing upon hundreds of other people. What would happen is whole cities and towns come to this competition. And so obviously the little ones are the ones on top because they're the lightest. But as you look, you could see the amount of weight that's down. Imagine those guys that are in the circle of that four or five, and there's still like five or six layers above them. Can you imagine the weight on their shoulders? If just one of them went like this, what would happen? The whole thing comes tumbling down. And so each one is linked together. Why? So that they could build this entire pyramid, in a sense, of people. Now, here's the thing. What a comparison for you and I in the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What a perfect scripture to make the comparison to how we're all called to be together to grow something. And what are we called to grow? We're called to grow to show the glory of God. It's not to say, hey, look at us, we're church. That's not what it's about at all. It's all to display the glory of God. You see, the enemy of your soul wants you to try to belong to the world. You never will be able to fit in. You know why? Because there's a part of you that will never be satisfied with that. And that belonging, that empty spot that God has put in you at your birth can only be fulfilled through belonging to the body of Christ. And more than just being his kid, you know, being one of his children, but belonging to the local church, belonging to a body that's functioning within the church. You hear what I'm saying? And just like that tower was being built, everyone was trusting one another to see it being built. Isn't that an amazing picture for you and I? And so as we begin to bring this to a close, here's the problem. This is the problem that you and I have. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But we have an issue. And I'm going to share this last scripture with you. It's a scripture the Lord gave me last night, in fact, as I was praying. And this just came to me, and I just need to impart this to you. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Begins at verse 6, and it says this: "For it is God who commands light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." And so just as in the beginning when God said, "Let there be light," and light for the first time illuminated on the earth and brought light into that confusion and darkness, the same as when the light of Jesus shines into our heart and we have the knowledge of salvation, man, this whole miracle happens. We're lit up in a sense. And that's our job, is to be a light to the world around us. Now, if we stop there, that'd be great, right? Okay, we'd be a light and life carries on. But here's what Paul says to us. It's really important. And he says this by the Holy Spirit in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So he compares you and I to like a clay pot. Now, I don't know about you, but if you take a clay pot and drop it, what's going to happen to it? In other words, there's a fragility to that clay pot. In other words, here we are, we're earthen vessels. And listen, we're not perfect. You know, some people say, hey, we're cracked pots. You know, we're not cracked pots. But you get what I'm saying, that we're not perfect, yet the glory of God is in us to do what? To display to the world who he is. In other words, it's not about us, it's about him. Now, again, that sounds good. But then the Apostle Paul goes on and he talks about an adversary that you and I have. And he says this, we are hard-pressed, in verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, but we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. In other words, here we are, trying to fit in, trying to belong, do what God's called us to do, and the enemy of your soul saying, you don't really fit. You're not really good enough. You do this still, or you don't do that still. Did you see how that person looked at you? You get what I'm saying? In other words, you have this hard-pressed oppression that pushes on you. And that's the enemy of your soul to try to tell you you don't fit. Here's the thing. We start out with this by saying, I believe. You believe on what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And since God has chosen you, and we saw that in our first scripture, he says he has chosen you to fit into the body. So you believe that he's chosen you, and guess what? When God starts something, he'll finish it. So he's chosen you to do what? To fit. And so regardless of what the enemy of your soul tells you, regardless of what those voices on the inside, regardless of what someone else tells you, you belong to Jesus. That's the reality of it. Do you believe that? And the thing is, you need to confess that and believe it. And then the next step is to say, okay, now that I believe, I do belong. And to make that confession, now there's some of you here, you're visitors. God bless the visitors here today. Now, if you're visiting, the first question, and in fact, if I ask you and you say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm a visitor, I'm going to say, well, where do you belong? And hopefully you're going to tell me why I belong in such and such a church, but I'm traveling from somewhere and just thought I'd stop in. I say, praise the Lord. You know, because you need to belong somewhere. Now, the thing is, there's some of you maybe that have been coming here, and if someone asks you, well, what church do you belong to? And your answer might be, well, you know, I've been going to Reach Out for a few months, and you know, that's where I'm going now. That wasn't the question they asked. Do you belong? And you need to make a decision to belong, because you can't become what God's called you to do until you belong. In other words, we believe, we belong, and then out of that belonging, God calls us to what we're to become. And so if you're just visiting, you need to make a decision. Find a church then that you can call home. If it's this place, then make a decision to say, this is my home. I belong at Reach Out. I maybe don't fit quite right. And that's okay. In fact, if you come to me and say, look, I don't fit quite right, I'll grab hold of you and hug you and say, awesome. All good. No problem at all. Because you belong to him. And he says you belong. Amen? And so the thing is, you need to make a decision, because until you do that middle step, you believe, you belong, you can't become what God's called you to be. Because you have to belong to become. Amen? And so I encourage you this day to make that decision. If you're a visitor, then belong to the church you're called to, wherever that might be. If you're a part of this body and you believe God's calling you here, make a decision to say, yes, I belong. When someone asks you, say, this is my home. This is my place of worship. This is my place where I seek the face of God. This is my home base, so to speak, that I can go out and do what God's called me to do so I can become all that I'm called to be. Amen? Let's stand and pray together. Father, I thank you for every single person here. And Lord, there are some here that don't belong here. They're man, just like John Mills, where he belonged here for a season, and then because of just practical reasons, he couldn't stay going here to fulfill what you've called him to become. And that's okay, Lord. I'm all about the bigger kingdom, because those that we send out with your blessing, others come here with your blessing. And I thank you for that. So, Lord, I pray right now for each and every person, and just with every head bowed, I want to ask you this question. Do you belong? Do you belong? Do you have a sense of belonging? Just put your hand up to Jesus, because it's a confession to him. And if you don't have that, I encourage you to ask the Lord about that, because it's really important. You know, unless you have that sense of belonging, how can you function and become what God's called you to? You can't. And so I encourage you to make that decision to belong as God directs you. So all your hands can go down. Lord, I thank you for every person here. You know where we are in our spiritual walk, Lord God, how much we believe, where we belong, and what we're called to become. You know exactly where we are in our spiritual journey. I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would encourage every believer here. That, Lord God, that though they might not feel like they belong, that they know in their heart of hearts they do belong. And Lord, I'm not asking any person to be something they're not. I'm asking them to be everything they're called to be in you. And so, Father, right now I speak a blessing upon your people from all different walks of life, from all different financial statuses, from all different cultures, from all different ways. But Lord God, we've all come to belong in you. And so, Lord God, I thank you that there's a place for each member of the body of Christ. So, Lord, we just give all to you this morning. I speak, again, a blessing over your people as they go out and serve you in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.